Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Last Lap podcast here in the summer break. All right, we've got some time off from the Formula One at the moment, but it doesn't mean that there are no Formula One stories for us to talk about. And I'm joined by Tom O to talk about those, as well as another very special guest.
Look at him. Look at Minton. He's just been pouring at my hand because he wants attention, don't you? I was wondering if he was going to curl up on the table for this time.
No.
He seems to be. You're on a mad one today, aren't you, mate?
He is. He's...
Look at the camera, Minton. Look at camera five. Camera five.
It's
fixated on his father. Thank you for joining us, wherever you are in the world, wherever you're audio only, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that. Don't forget rating 5 stars, good comments, all that. Or
very
YouTube,
important.
Where you can see our faces, you can see the sausage dog. This is one to watch on YouTube, I guess.
I was going to say, yeah. If you're listening on Spotify now, then obviously give us the 5 star, but then hop on over to YouTube, because on my camera right now, you can see the bunda of it. The wonder of a sausage. I don't think you can see the rest of him. Maybe you can, I don't know. But on my camera, it's buttocks.
Just buttocks. There. That's all you need, mate, isn't it? He's got, you know, we take care of him, you know. He likes to get his cardio in.
I was saying to you, I think he's the smoothest dog that I've ever come across. I'm not going to lie. I don't think I've ever come across a sheenier, you know.
He shines in the sun, doesn't he?
Yeah, he is aerodynamic, like you were saying.
He is. He's the RB19 of dogs, I think.
Get him on the Formula One grid and he'd be faster than a Williams. That's all I'm saying.
That's saying a lot, because Williams is pretty rapid.
Yeah, okay, faster than a house.
Yeah, so obviously this is the first weekend after no race. There has been a little bit of news knocking about, but obviously we are in the summer break, which is typically the time of year. I mean, we all remember what happened last summer break with a certain Mr. Sebastian Vettel announcing their retirement.
Indeed.
And the knock-on effect of that. Remind everyone what happened after that.
Well, it was carnage after that, I'll be honest with you. I think that was the best... That created the greatest silly season I reckon we've had in the last 10 years. Mm. I honestly think. Because the knock-on effect of that obviously was a spare seat at Aston Martin, which was then not vacated. What's the opposite of vacated? Incated.
Inputted
by Fernando Alonso. deciding he's going to swap Alpine for Aston Martin, which obviously left Alpine with a simple decision to make and choosing Oscar Piastri.
Very simple.
He did not want to be chosen. Contrary to reports, had basically claimed that he wasn't going to be driving for Alpine this season that we are in right now. That was the greatest.
Mark Webber.
Yeah, he definitely wrote that. I think that was the greatest point of it all, really.
That was iconic.
And it's
still on his Twitter. But
yeah.
On Oscar's Twitter, he's kept that up.
What is the wording again? I can't remember.
It should be like embellished onto my brain. It's something along the lines of like...
contrary to reports, or like Alpine released a statement today.
Yeah, without my kind of consent.
Yeah, without my consent.
Without my approval. Yeah, it was very, very corporate down the line. But I love this.
It was very passive aggressive, though, as well.
It was.
Sort of like, these lot are knobheads. I am not driving for you lot.
Well, since all of that went over and since all the change at Alpine, apparently it's been reported that it was Laurent Rossi, who was kind of in charge of the contract situation. Now, obviously, we know that Fernando and Otmar's relationship did get somewhat soured.
Yeah.
I think Fernando had a few comments for Otmar after he got dropped and that he should be quiet, which is, I mean, classic Fernando stirring the pot. But at the end of it, I think it was more on Rossi than anyone else, who, again, he's departed. Well, he's still, I think, at Alpine, but he's moved elsewhere within that system. So, yeah.
It stunk. I'm going to be totally real with you. It stunk. Like, that was Alpine really proving who Alpine are for me. I think the last, like, 5 years of Renault / Alpine... Has been Alpine. It has.
It's been very Alpine. And you know...
L after L.
That kind of silly season is like the 2021 F1 season crescendo. That's an equivalent. So I don't think we're going to get that much excitement in this silly season. But you never know.
Depends. Someone might... Lewis just comes out of the woodwork and goes, boom, I'm retiring. XNDA, EP, now.
Listen, we've been saying for a long time, is that contract still not signed? There's a lot of drivers, actually, who aren't in contracts. And I think we'll get into that in a minute, because I think, you know, this seems to be the time of year where these things are kind of sorted, like halfway through the year before your contract.
It's a good time to take stock, evaluate how drivers are doing, if they are out of contract. And we'll get onto it in a little bit, but there's a big variety, I think, in performance level for this season for the drivers that are out of contract. There's a lot of people that are probably a little bit worried about their seat right now and whether they're going to be in it again next season. But there's a lot of drivers who I think are overperforming.
And again, we know that in F1, it's not all just about performance, right? So you can perform really well, but if politics get in the way...
Yeah, if you're bringing in that Wonga,
it helps.
Yeah.
It opens doors.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It opens doors for sure.
It does. But with like a coin, usually. I don't think a note would be very good at opening a door because it'll just get creased straight away.
I don't know. Because
they've got the plastic ones these days, though, so they've got a little bit more give to them.
If you fed it through, I reckon you could maybe get behind the... Like, I don't know.
You've got
notes now as well.
True. You could also fold it into the shape of a key, maybe, if you're really skilled at it.
Like proper origami.
Yeah, origami that. And boom, you're in. So that's what we're saying, basically.
Look, let's start talking a little bit about... I want to start with Mercedes. Obviously, Mercedes seem to be... as I'm getting a call from
Mercedes.
Who's this from?
They don't want him to talk about him.
Oh, basically. Man, it is actually Toto.
Oh, is it? Mad. All right, get him on the phone.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Tell him that he sounds like a Terminator.
Okay. Yeah?
Or that he's just really tall. I don't know.
Right, but okay. I see what you mean.
Toto is 6'7". Oh, is Lewis signing the contract?
He just hung up on me.
Really?
He called me.
That seems rude, to be honest with you. Very Toto behaviour, though, I feel.
So it's been confirmed that Lewis will not be resigning with Mercedes.
Mad! There's the exclusive, lad. That's crazy.
Minton will be replaced.
Aerodynamic boy taking charge. He's getting in the car next season.
Toto's listening in.
Yeah, I was going to say, mate.
The reason I want to talk about Mercedes is because they have been the most consistent next team ultimately throughout the course of the season, still struggling with bouncing. Started the season with no side pod. So if you look at the first six races of the year, they scored 119 points. Last six races, 128.
Okay.
So pretty consistent in terms of kind of point spread. I mean, Red Bull, first half 249, second half 254. So very consistent them as well.
Yeah.
And then everyone else is all over the shop.
Aston Martin, I can already know, are going to be probably the least consistent.
Aston Martin have scored 44 fewer points in this last six than they did in the first six.
Mm.
And bear in mind, all the points are really coming from one driver.
Yeah, and Stroll was kind of unlucky actually as well at the start of the season. The pace was there, but he broke down in Saudi and had like zero hands for Bahrain.
So. Yeah. But even that's the thing. Even though Mercedes have been, I would like, you know, the points indicate they've been the next most consistent. They're still struggling with bouncing. I think the drivers seem a bit happy with the car, but what's happened to George? Like, because I think we saw last year he, you know, he beat Lewis in Brazil. On his day, he could be up there and fight toe-to-toe with Lewis, did outscore Lewis over the course of the season, which didn't tell the full story. But what's happened this year? Because it just seems to have fallen off a bit of a cliff.
Yeah, we've seen a big old drop-off in consistency, haven't we, from George? And that was the one thing I was really impressed with him last year. Obviously, I know Lewis... there was reasons why Lewis was inconsistent at times at the start of last year. It was because he was testing a lot of stuff for Mercedes, had a lot more weight on the car, fair enough. But George was putting in consistent performances. Yeah. You'd see him in the top five pretty much. Mm. I think, there was that record, wasn't there, where he finished in the top five.
Up until Silverstone with a crash with Joe, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was always... And I think really throughout his entire career as a whole, I've always seen that as a strong point with George, is consistency.
Mr. Saturday.
He's always there. He'll always maximize what he can out of the car, I feel. But since about Miami time, it seems to be in qualifying as well.
Yeah.
It's a big issue.
Yes.
You've seen Baku, I think he struggled either in the sprint or in normal quali. Which quali was it where he's like 18th on the grid recently?
There was the one in Hungary. He got caught out. Massively.
He got caught out by traffic though as well.
Yeah. Which was kind of his fault. I mean, again, he's kind of the head of the GPDA, the Grand Prix Drivers Association. So I think when it comes to like queuing up to start a lap, he's going to like abide by the rules somewhat, kind of caught him out there because everyone else was like every man for themselves jumping ahead of him. I think as well, like maybe the this is the issue, right? Because every other team apart from Red Bull has had to somewhat change their direction in order to find this path that Red Bull started on and have continued on, and they haven't deviated. Like, if you look at the Red Bull at the start of last season and the Red Bull now, mm-hmm. like, fundamentally, it hasn't changed a huge amount. Yes, of course, there's been slight, you know, modifications to the side pods and that, but they've broadly speaking been on the right direction, whereas George has had to, you know, both him and Lewis were really struggling with the car last year.
Yeah, do you reckon a Mercedes is the car that's probably changed the most of any car, just fundamentally,
maybe,
since the start of last year?
I think the Williams has changed a lot as well, because that was very similar to the Mercedes.
Yeah.
Because they started with like those nose side pods.
They just changed it a lot quicker than Mercedes did.
And you can see with the Mercedes how they're having to, like, it's got the, like, in order to get the crash structure in, they've still got the little, where they've got the new side pods, but they've still got them little kind of fins that kind of stick out at the front. And you can see, it feels like a bit of a compromise. And ultimately,
it's like a little Frankenstein car. To put like lots of different ideas together.
And literally, like, even now with the cost cap, when you look at it up close, you can see all the different carbon weaves, and it's quite kind of messy because you can't afford to just, like Mercedes would have been in the past, to just create a whole new, you know, side panel. They've got a kind of retrofit what they've already got.
Yeah.
Which I don't fundamentally dislike that. I just think that, yeah, I still think Mercedes' consistency, given all of the issues, given they've gone through like from one side pod philosophy to an entire different one, and, you know, Lewis feels too far front in the car, whatever, all these issues that the drivers have, for Mercedes to still be consistently at least the third quickest car. I think they've been consistent over the course of this entire season, at least the third quickest. Yes, there's been Aston Martin was quicker than them at the start.
Yeah.
Ferrari have been quicker than them at times. McLaren have been kind of in certain
recently, conditions. Recently, yeah.
But like Mercedes have always been up there.
Yeah.
So I do think they are, you know, when it comes to, you know, Lewis and his future at the team, I still think they're his best shot.
I agree.
A challenge to Red Bull.
Oh, I mean, ultimately, the championship doesn't lie. He's third in the standings right now. And I think, you know, Fernando Alonso obviously had been there for a while because of that strong start to the season. But since the Aston Martin drop-off, you're right, Mercedes have been the most consistent package to deliver, like, good scoring points positions. I think you're right. If Lewis is thinking of trying to get that eighth championship at some point over the next couple of years... There's no, you know, my stance on Ferrari and like delivering consistently. They've been a bit better recently, but you know that once they're in a title fight, something will go wrong.
Mm.
Aston Martin have dropped off. McLaren, fine. You know, they've just arrived back on the scene with some strong performances.
Yep.
But they seem to have a locked in driver pairing for a while. You know, Lando and Oscar both young.
Yep.
They could deliver.
And you should hopefully give Lando the confidence that, I can hopefully bank on this team with
the
new management in charge and all that to actually be something that can offer him a title charge.
Yeah, exactly. So I think if you are Lewis right now and you're thinking, right, cool, want to go for a title charge in the next 2 years, I think Mercedes is probably the place to stay right now. Even though I would love a silly season that involves Lewis at some point since like 2013.
Yeah,
that would be great. If you could just make that happen at some point. It's been a while.
I mean, those Ferrari rumors that come up every year, like, I would not be surprised if that comes from like Lewis's team somewhat, right? Internally.
Yeah, just being like
planting those seeds, just
a little bit.
Extra negotiation.
Do you want to pay rise, Lewis?
Yeah.
We can sort that out. Oh yeah, he's actually really loves red. His favorite color is red. Yeah, and just put that out in the media. Yeah. Boom, just sorted.
Yeah, Alfa Romeo.
He's going to Italy on holiday.
Wow, that's confirmed.
That's all I'm saying, mate. That's all I'm saying. He's going to Como.
Como's lovely.
It's a beautiful place. Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
I've heard good things. I've heard very good things.
So's Lewis.
Apparently so. Yeah. How do you reflect on though Spa? Because obviously, if we're talking about the next half of this season, 10 races, and Red Bull seemed to, yes, I think Spa played to their strengths, which when you're strong everywhere makes it so ominous.
We looked at a graph before this before we started recording, and it basically shows like a performance profile of every element, I guess, that goes into overall car speed.
Yep. Shout out Blake, by the way.
Yeah, shout out Blake. Graf, friend of the channel, friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
It's obviously straight line speed, high speed corners.
What do you find most interesting about this? Again, Blake did a video with Autosport, really good video. Check it out. And yeah, he's gone through kind of, this is based on like qualifying pace.
Yeah.
And then like kind of straight line speed, high speed cornering, medium speed cornering, low speed cornering.
Yeah. I think the most interesting thing is the fact that Red Bull are top of everything.
Yes.
Like literally everything.
All four categories.
There is just a line, a purple line at the top of boom. Here's where Red Bull are. Straight line speed, they are miles clear of everybody else. I mean, we talk about the Williams being a rocket ship in a straight line. And to be fair, they are third. They match with Ferrari in terms of straight line speed. But they're still nowhere near Red Bull in terms of straight line speed. And obviously we talked about DRS. We'll come on to that in a little bit. Red Bull's DRS advantage is so strong. The car is just so slippery in a straight line. But then on top of that, high speed corners top, medium speed corners top, and low speed corners top as well. It's grim. Because a lot of people have talked about like whether we could, you know, stunt them a little bit. And we've seen in the past where there's been like little regulation changes that come in and just, or we're just like raising the level of the floor slightly, not for any reason in particular. We just kind of want to do it, guys. And but in reality, they're just trying to hurt the team that's at the top and just try and close the field. You can't do that when Red Bull are best at everything. You know?
Exactly. There's not one thing that, again, you know, when they changed the floors to nerf the Mercedes, which was obviously the thought process behind that, you could do that because not every car was low rake. Most cars were high rake, so it only hit the Mercedes and the Mercedes clone, which was the racing point.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a prime example. So Automotor and Sport, the German publication, have reported that there's conversations around potentially banning DRS for qualifying. Which would, again, the Red Bull DRS advantage is something that's clear, that's been talked about loads, that they have kind of this, you know, extra level of efficiency that they can bring from dropping their DRS.
Yeah.
My only kind of caveat around that, because I do think it would, it would disproportionately hurt the Red Bull. It would also, you know, hurt other teams who have efficient DRS, but they have the most efficient, so it would... proportionally hurt them the most. But I think, does anyone remember Monza 2019? All of the shenanigans trying to get over the line. All I'm saying is that if there's no DRS, then the power of the toe is
so much
even
more
prevalent.
Yeah.
I think the power of having two cars in Q2 and two cars in Q3, because then teammates can work together. I think that is... I like that side of it, because then it's more, okay, but it's really, so, you know, Checo not getting to Q3 five sessions in a row would hurt Max more because he wouldn't be able to necessarily work with a teammate to make sure, all right, we'll have one run with you ahead, one run with you ahead, and we'll alternate between races, whatever. But I do think, I just hate, that's one part of Q1, Q2 for qualifying I hate, is this whole like people battling for to not be the lead car, and then you get like Monza 2019, which was hilariously bad.
Where you had
like a glug of like eight cars in Q3.
And just no one made it.
No one
made it to the line.
Nico Hülkenberg locked up at doing about 40 miles an hour, locked up and just went straight because he didn't want to be in front. Yeah. And then it was just like, like you say, half of them made it, half of them didn't. That's my caveat about banning DRS. But I do think it would reduce Red Bull's advantage. So I don't know where I sit. Where would you sit with that?
I've always been one of those people when it comes to qualifying. I've been like, I don't think there's any point yet in having the DRS zones in the same place they are for the race. I say just either you can use it anywhere or don't use it at all. It's always been my kind of stance with that. I don't feel crazily passionately about it, but I think you're right. The only concern I would have is that you do end up with those trains, or that whoever's at the front of a train, he just immediately isn't going to get a good time on the board. That's the
again, imagine,
but then everyone has DRS anyway, so I suppose you know, you've still got the toe, I guess. Like in qualifying today, say at Belgium, you still get the toe off your teammate. You've just got DRS, you've just both got DRS as well.
Yeah,
so maybe it kind of cancels out.
But the relative
in the end.
Gain from toe is less. Because you are like it's proportionate.
You're going faster anyway.
Was it when in old Top Gear when Clarkson was driving the Veyron?
Yeah,
maybe I think it was when James May drove the Veyron and he maxed it. And he was saying about like to get you know, to go from 0 to 200 takes so many horsepower, but then to get an extra 10 horsepower, it takes proportionally way more because like air resistance as you're going quicker. So if you're, and I think as well, like if F1, I think part of F1 seeming more like sustainable, like, you know, purposefully, you know, pushing a bigger hole in the air and going slower ultimately kind of goes somewhat against that, because I think in an ideal world for me, for qualifying, you just have access to DRS whenever you want it.
Yeah,
like
well, yeah,
you don't have the zones, because then that's the quickest the car's going
to
go.
Yeah. And also the skill to be able to use it at certain points, because there's going to be certain areas of the track where it's a little bit sketchy or it's a little bit more risky to use
it. A 130R Suzuka.
Yeah.
Do you dare keep it open?
Yeah. Oh, that. Jesus Christ. Now we're opening a whole new can of worms of aeroplane accidents at 130R.
That, yeah, and that's the thing. Obviously, there's a danger component, which I completely understand. But I think that... Yeah, I don't know where I sit on it. Let us know in the comments below if you're watching on YouTube. What do you think the idea of banning DRS?
Yeah. Or whether to just...
Because it would hurt Red Bull more so than... Mm. And we've talked about this in the past. Like, there doesn't seem to be a clear way of like nerfing the Red Bull like there was with cutting the floors.
Yeah.
But maybe this could...
Loads of little things.
But then qualifying, like, they're not dominant in qualifying anyway.
Well, no, Sergio Perez isn't dominant in qualifying.
But again, the gaps Max has got, like, he's not dominant. Like, Lewis beat him, like, Charles beat him, both Baku sprint and main race.
Yeah, no, true.
The gaps are typically, like, even Silverstone, it was like a couple of tenths. I think they've got a couple of, you know, a tenth to two tenths with Max in hand most qualifying sessions.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call that dominant.
And either way, even if you nerf them slightly in qualifying... And you've got, oh man, Max is starting second. He's still going to win anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, he started sixth. It was sixth, wasn't it, Spa? And you could start anywhere, realistically. You could start in the Netherlands, and I would have been like, yeah, he's probably going to win the Belgian Grand Prix.
He still had a whole pit stop in hand. And was like, oh, can I pit? Because it's fun. And GP was like, no.
That was so funny. That was such a violation as well, by the way. Because you know that was like a... Lads, not gonna lie, not being funny. I could pit right now and I could still win the race. Like, I just want to do it because I'm bored. And it's like, man, I feel Sergio Perez here in that after the fact.
Yeah,
when you were ahead of him at a halfway stage of the race, that must be a bit of a stinger.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of, again, we talked about this loads with Sergio. Like, he just kind of has to accept that he's not gonna be. He's not the guy to beat Max. I think, you know, Max is driving at this insane level, and he has this, you know, massive influence within the team.
Yeah.
And rightly so.
Like, yeah, of course.
In the same way that Lewis has built a massive influence within Mercedes doing what he did, and you know, Bottas would occasionally get close towards the start of the year, but that was always going to be... That was always going to be Lewis's championship. So I think that... Yeah, I'm not convinced, but I think what makes it more difficult as well to and I think why people feel this boredom is because there isn't this kind of clear number two. We say Mercedes has been the most consistent, but then again, you look at like Aston Martin. Now, there's been a few rumors knocking about that maybe there was some kind of change that Aston Martin had to make to their car. Through like flexi wings or something, that nothing's been confirmed. There's talk around like these kind of underhand like communications of things, and obviously with the tire compound changing. I mean, at the start of the year, I was very much like, well, not even the start of the year, like after a few races, I was very much like Aston Martin will be the team. And I do think that they've had this first half of this year with loads of ATR.
Yep.
So I think For me now, I don't see many of the cars changing going forward. I don't see much changing with the Aston Martin. I feel like unless you've got something to fight for, which I guess Aston do, they've got their constructors with Mercedes, but that's not going to happen. They might finish ahead of Ferrari. I don't think McLaren will catch them. But for me, it's just unless you've got really something to fight for with millions on the line, which Williams, Haas and Alfa Romeo do, because they're all split by like 2 points, I think everyone's just going to bank their upgrades till next year now. I don't see too much of the cars changing in the next 10.
I mean, I said this on, I remember saying this on one of the shows about Aston Martin. It's kind of like, it's kind of similar actually to what we were saying about like straight line speed, isn't it? Where that first, like, however many miles an hour, you don't need as much horsepower or whatever. the first amount of upgrades to take them from where they were to where they were at the start of the season, in the winter, feels like it was like a big jump. And then it's almost like after that, it's like, right, okay, cool. We've made all this ground. Mad, we've got to go do some more research in order to then find the next time on top of that. Mm. And whilst they've been, you know, doing the research and whatever, and putting the hours into the next set of upgrades they're going to bring, mm. the rest of the pack has kind of like caught up again because mm. they've been gradually bringing theirs rather than that one boom at the start of the season, that one massive piece of performance. So I think it was kind of always going to happen a little bit. I think they were always going to drop back a little bit. Either way, you know, they're still top 10 every time. You know, they're still probably like 4th/5th best on the grid at the moment, or quickest.
Yeah.
I think if you're Aston Martin, having banked up all those points at the start of the season,
yes,
you'd probably take it.
Yeah.
I think they will improve a little bit. I think they will gradually bring some upgrades as the season goes on. But yeah, I don't think we'll see a massive, massive change in overall order from this point onwards, because there's no point unless you are down towards the bottom of the field and 2 points makes a massive difference.
Yeah, I mean, Aston Martin's jump up at the start of this year was pretty unprecedented.
Yeah. Like,
and I think, again, if you said to them at the end of last year...
The start of last year as well, especially.
Especially the start.
At the end of 2023, you'd be like fourth in the construction.
I would literally...
Be like, absolutely.
They were scrapping with Williams at the back, weren't they?
Yeah.
I think in that context, I think they'll be okay. And again, they've just moved into the new facility and all that. So I think they've got, you know, they've got a very good driver in Fernando. They've got Lance Stroll, who does a job. I mean, I know Aston Martin have come out and said he's been very unlucky. I mean, has he? I think there's been a couple of strategy things that haven't maybe gone his way. And I think Saudi, he pulled that move on Science, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he was like sixth and then he broke down.
But other than that, would I say he's been particularly unlucky? I know they're going to defend their driver and you know, they should. That's their job, right? And their literal, Lawrence's literal son. So, of course, they're going to defend their driver. I don't know. I'm not convinced. But again, that lineup's not changing next year, is it?
God. Now, that would be the silliest of seasons, I reckon. Mm. If Lance was to lose his drive, that would be the silliest of seasons. Because that's genuine, like, DNA on the line there.
You know what?
Biological father has ditched his own son. Levels of silly season.
Yeah. Lance is the biological son. Fernando's the adopted son.
Yeah, Fernando is the adopted son, who's still somehow the biological son's dad. It's a very strange family tree they've got going on at Aston Martin right now.
I could definitely... What I could see happening, which would... I would hate this, because he deserves a seat. For me, but I could definitely see, like, if AlphaTauri, you know, there's all this talk of Hugo Boss, which I think we'll get into. I could see him going to Aston and being like a reserve.
Well, going to AlphaTauri and being reserve.
I could see Tsunoda going to Aston.
Oh, Jesus.
Because the Honda Lord. League, but yeah, being a reserve, which would break my heart. But I could see that happening.
Oh, no, I don't need that. They've already got enough reserves. They got Van Dorn, they got Drogovic. Tsunoda as well. How many reserves do you need? That's under 18s at that point. You're not even in the reserve.
This is why, and look, we both believe in Yuki Quinn, right?
We do. Invested
early doors.
We do.
But I want to, so...
This is a question on my quiz
for my live show I did on Friday, right? Mm-hmm. So Yuki's P17 in the standings right now.
Yeah.
What do you think his average finishing position is? If you're listening at home, take a minute, have a think.
I reckon it's 12.
Average finishing position, you're saying 12.
Because the amount of 11ths he had.
So it's a number point something.
Point, okay.
So I've gone for one decimal place as well.
Okay, I'll go for, I think it's going to be closer to third. Well, I think it's 12.5, I reckon. Smack bang in between 12 and 13.
12.5.
Yeah. Because I can only remember one stinker he's had this season where he's been like 15th or below.
Okay.
So I'm slapping you.
Because he has finished every race. He's got to finish every single race.
What a man. Takes a lot of skill, a lot of consistency. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, mate, you've almost smashed it there.
What is it?
12.8.
Shit.
When you said almost 13, I was like, oh, he might actually get it.
He's fumbled it.
So yeah, P12.8 average finishing position. I think that tells more of the story of Yuki's season.
Yeah.
He's been very good.
He's been unlucky not to score more points. And I think that's... I didn't even realize he was 17th in the standing.
Yeah.
Thought he was higher.
Then he got 3 points.
Yeah.
He's got three P10s and three P11s and a P12.
Mental.
So
see, that is actually consistency. That's actually impressive.
Yeah,
it's a shame that points don't go down to 12.
Yeah, which again, I think that's why if Ricciardo comes in and matches or beats Yuki, I still think Yuki's done like a fantastic job mm-hmm. this year. Like mm-hmm. I don't think you can look past him. Because well, let's have a look at all of the drivers that are out of contract.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with Lewis. What's the hold up? What is the hold up?
He just loves the drama, Mick. That's what it is. It's the sort of
we're talking about Mick Schumacher.
Yeah. he loves the drama. I honestly think Lewis needs to know that what he's going to get next season is exactly what he wants it to be, and that's calm. And he's earned enough XP during his time in Formula One to deserve that. Do you know what I mean? I think we've seen this so many. It's the last like three seasons now, I think.
Yeah.
There's been this question mark of, lads, it's August. He hasn't signed a contract yet. I honestly, him and Toto just love to do this little salsa dance around the pen and paper each year. I honestly do think he's gonna sign with Mercedes for next year. There's obviously rumors about Ferrari and whatever, but unless something above Mercedes in the food chain almost happens that's crazy in this silly season, I don't see him retiring yet. There's been no, he hasn't been giving vibes of that.
No.
Because
he's
been giving hints at Mercedes contracts and whatever. He's not made any hints to retirement or anything.
Yeah.
So it's either Mercedes or something else.
So,
and unless a seat at Ferrari becomes available or... I don't know. I don't see anything like that happening.
The only reason I can think that it's been delayed, and I do think he's 100% going to extend at Mercedes. Yeah. I think that he's surely, this makes so much sense, he's going for some degree of ownership within the team, as well as being that you look at, obviously he's got his stake in the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis has a lot of business ventures that he's invested in. You've got like Neat Burger and all that he's involved with.
Mm-hmm.
You look at sports people buying into and actors buying into franchises. What you got? Is it Russell Westbrook's on the board at Leeds? He was at Leeds.
Yeah.
Because he's part of the ownership group there. Obviously, you got like Reynolds, McAvoy. We've talked about that with Alpine already.
Mm.
You know, for Lewis to buy and own a stake within that Mercedes Formula One team makes so much sense. He's been Mercedes affiliated for his entire career, even back at the McLaren days. It was Mercedes who kind of first kind of reached out to him. He's always driven Mercedes engines. He's so affiliated with that team. He's already got sports investment elsewhere. For me, that's, you know, having that added layer of complexity, because the thing is, that team is a third owned by Toto, a third owned by Mercedes Group, Daimler, whatever you want to call it, and a third owned by Ineos.
Yeah.
So someone would have to dilute for Lewis to get in.
Yeah.
I could maybe see everyone diluting a bit and then just 25% each and Lewis taking 25% of that team. I could see that.
That would be crazy.
Trying to negotiate that is maybe why.
That would be crazy though. Imagine he's driving for the team and owns part of it as well. Have we ever seen that in Formula One? Well, we have probably in like the old.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. We, it were, well, Bruce McLaren.
When
he started that team. Oh, he was... There's definitely been other examples of that. That's a good question, actually.
There will have been, but like olden times.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but when there was like a lot more independence on the grid.
Yes. Whereas now it's like share structure and all that.
Yeah.
And big.
His Honda, his Jag, it's a lot more sort of.
But I'd love that. I think that would be such a savvy for all parties as well.
Mm-hmm.
Savvy for Toto to like, you know, because Lewis will eventually retire. It's going to happen eventually. And so keeping Lewis as a big part of that team going forward, the name Lewis Hamilton, that would be huge. I think
Lewis Hamilton, Mercedes, Monster, Toto Wolff, Ineos, Petronas Racing.
Damn.
There you go.
Rolls off the tongue.
It really does. It really, really does.
It's a better name than Hugo Boss Balls Racing.
Yeah.
That's been,
can we just talk about that briefly? Because that stinks. that really, like, I'm going to be honest, that honks. I cannot see... I will refuse to call it that. I'll start calling it Toro Rosso again. I'm not calling it Hugo Boss Bulls Racing.
Yes. Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, obviously AlphaTauri potentially being renamed. It's been confirmed. It's not going to be AlphaTauri next year.
Yeah.
Hugo Boss.
Which is good, to be fair. I don't really like AlphaTauri.
Yeah. Whatever. It didn't catch on. People still called it Toro Rosso.
The clothes are shit.
Yeah. They're not great. And their shops are very empty. I went to one in Hungary and it was just dead. It felt kind of bad.
There's one in London. I remember driving past it being like, that is massive, but I didn't see a single person go in.
Staff were just staring at me like, can I do something to help? Because I've not done anything all day.
They've had six Red Bulls that day. Absolutely just like pinging off like caffeine.
Hello, sir. Hello, sir. Please don't help.
I have nothing to do but drink Red Bull.
That makes sense as a time, perfectly. And then Hugo Boss, they sponsor Aston Martin at the moment, but there is talk of them taking over like title sponsorship. I think Helmut Marko has already talked about title sponsorship being, you know, they retain ownership of the team, which is a bit messy. They should just sell it. Like, just sell it, please. Just sell it to like Andretti or something. I'd rather see that than some. And then Hugo Boss Bulls Racing, like, surely not. Surely not. That is a fucking awful name. That is so bad.
If you're going to sell it to a brand and you're going to have, well, not like, sell
call
it to a
Boss GP or something.
Yeah. Well, that was a racing series, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I don't know if it's still a thing. I'm not sure. Maybe, but
it might be, to be fair.
Boss, because they don't even, like, they've separated the brands out as well, haven't they? It's not Hugo, like, you buy, it's Boss. Boss is a brand and Hugo's a brand. They've kind of separated it out now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it used to all be, I remember I used to work at a clothing shop in Bournemouth at uni.
I thought it was just one man. And his name was Hugo Boss.
Well, yeah. So it is. It's like one brand. But I think now, you know, like you've seen Boss, they've got like AJ promoting it. On the Aston, you just see Boss. It doesn't say Hugo.
Oh, yeah.
It just says Boss. So they've like separated the brands out. So
I think if you're going to get a title sponsor and then name it after the title sponsor, because it's different to like Aston Martin, Cognizant Racing or whatever, or Mercedes, because that you've still got the name of the team in the, you get me, but you're naming the team after you. It's not good. It's not good.
Because Boss GP sounds a bit like Braun GP.
Yeah.
That kind of gives that same kind of vibe.
It's just a better name. Hugo Boss Bulls Racing.
It's the Bulls bit.
It's the Bulls.
Sends me.
Hugo Boss Bulls. Makes me think of that. That's all I can think of.
Toro Boss. Toro Bosso.
Toro Bosso. I like that. Hugo. Alpha Hugo. Hugo Tauri. There's lots of combinations.
Look, we've already come up with some better suggestions. Let us know again in the comments if you've got any.
Yeah, what would you name?
Yeah.
Alpha, no, Red Bull Sugar Free Racing. Zero Caffeine GP.
Yeah, it's days of caffeine behind us. All right, let's talk about some other. Well, actually, let's talk of the to be Hugo Boss Bulls Racing drivers of Daniel Ricciardo and Yuki Tsunoda, because they are both out of contract at the end of this year.
And is Daniel Ricciardo even in contract? He's just like,
yeah, he's just he's just there. He's just vibing. Look, I said this before, I say it again. I think Red Bull will have learned enough about Daniel after 12 races, which they'll have had by the end of this year, 12 races of him. They'll have learned enough about Daniel to know whether, right, is he the guy to do as good, if not a better job than Checo, or did it not work and goodbye, that time's done.
Do you think there's a world in which Daniel Ricciardo and Yuki Tsunoda does the driver lineup next season?
I don't.
No.
I don't believe that happens. I think that...
I don't think Daniel Ricciardo would want that either.
No.
I can only imagine he's taken this on with the knowledge that, well, not the knowledge, but the hope that there is at least that there's a chance that he could be in the Red Bull next season.
Yeah.
I don't think he does it otherwise, because he turned down drives at Haas, Williams, whatever last season.
Yeah.
AlphaTauri is the worst car on the grid. It's not even a question. Well, maybe it's a question, but in terms of the Constructors' Championship, it's not. Whereas with a Haas or whatever, you know, there's maybe, oh, they might be seventh quickest, or they could even be sixth
quickest.
Or at
least Haas have got quali pace.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Mm. So for him to have taken that step down, there has to be at least a little bit of a hope, or maybe even a slight expectation that he's going to be in that car next season.
Yeah, I think that maybe the only way that Ricciardo would stay at that team is if this title sponsor who comes in like really wants him and like, you know, makes him an amazing deal to like stay at that team.
Yeah.
Say Hugo Boss do take over, and then they're like, we really want Daniel to be like a brand advocate for Hugo Boss and having him in that car with all the pull that he has. Yeah, maybe they throw a bag at him.
The problem is for a change of name like that, or a change of team, I guess, like that, you're not actually changing under the hood team. It's just going to have a different name.
Just the paint on the outside.
Yeah, and it's just going to be affiliated. You're going to get free Hugo Boss stuff.
Yep.
Do you know what I'm saying? So realistic, like if Honda came along and went, all right, boom, we're buying AlphaTauri now, it's going to be Honda Racing, there might actually be a part of Daniel that's like, let me stay here. Yeah. If that Red Bull seat isn't available, I'm going to stay here because this is a project. And in 2 years, this could be a car that's like top half on the grid because of the investment and the motorsport know-how that Honda have.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be the case with Hugo Boss.
Because Red Bull still own the team.
Yeah.
It's just a name.
It's just a name change. It's still AlphaTauri, like realistically.
Yes. It's like with Alfa Romeo. It's like, no, that team's still Sauber. It's just Alfa Romeo have the naming rights.
Mm.
But it's not an Alfa Romeo manufactured team. You know what I mean?
But so when it becomes Audi, it will be. That's the difference.
You know exactly. Right? Which, you know, again, that, you know, I think it's way more likely that Ricciardo, if he does really well in this remaining half of the season and gives confidence to the rest of the grid that he could be that guy, then yeah, maybe if he doesn't get called up by Red Bull, then maybe Audi. If Science moves to Audi, then maybe Ferrari. There was talk of that potentially, like before he made the move to McLaren from Renault. So I don't know. I think that either way, yeah, Ricciardo is not in that team next year, as far as I'm concerned. And I think the more likely for me is that he replaces Checo. I still think if I had to put money on it today, that's the one I'd put on. Yuki, I'm less. I don't know.
I just don't really know for Yuki. Because I think there's actually,
I don't want to see him get battered by Verstappen in a Red Bull.
No.
I think he would.
I'm going to be totally real. Yuki Tsunoda is not, for me, I love Yuki. He's literally my favourite driver on the grid in terms of just like bar Lando. But I think I don't see him as the guy who could get in a car and challenge for a title.
Agreed.
There's some drivers that can, that are like generational, that go through all the junior formulas and batter everyone, your Piastris and Russells and Landos and Leclercs and whatever, and they will go on and win championships in great cars. Yuki is the type of driver who, if you slapped him in a car that's like the fifth best on the grid, he would maximize the most out of it, and you'd go, man, he's a good driver, like a Pierre Gasly, or like Sergio had been in the past as well, right? But yeah, I wouldn't want to see him in a Red Bull. He would get pummeled, I think.
I think that there's a difference about these drivers who just come in as rookies and just hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Like Charles Leclerc in that Sauber, like Oscar Piastri's doing in the McLaren.
Yeah.
I think like Lewis did in the Mercedes. Obviously, that's a different era with loads more testing, but still the point stands. Go back to like Fernando at Minardi and Vettel when he was in that Sauber at the US Grand Prix,
got points. Toro Rosso as well, like that first season.
Like, and Max in the Toro Rosso, obviously, as well. Like, you know, there's these drivers who are the cut above, and I think those names are so few and far between. And I think that Yuki's like a great driver, and he could have a really solid career in F1. But do I think he's... And I think he would be a number two to Red Bull. Maybe Red Bull should, could Yuki be a long-term number two to Max and be happy within that role and be a Barrichello, a Bottas, one of these drivers who's, is content enough and gets the odd win and will get podiums and can be that guy. So, yeah, I don't know about Yuki. I think, his ties to Honda are so strong as well. And with that break-in, I think that really does hinder his chances. And you've got Liam Lawson in the back. I think Lawson's Tsunoda, I think that's still maybe likely for next year.
Yeah.
I think if I had to put money on it, I'd say Lawson's Tsunoda next year.
If I was to put money on it, yes. I think it's like the most, I think that team is like the most fuck knows out of all of them in terms of like who I actually think the driver lineup is going to be. Because it could go a lot of different ways. Like, you could end up with Daniel taking on the seat at AlphaTauri, and then where does Sergio Perez end up? You could end up with Yuki. I don't know, if there's a link at Aston Martin. I know Lance Stroll is realistically not going to get dropped. by Aston. But if by some miracle that happened, then Yuki would be a shoe in there.
Yeah.
You've then got all the fucking Red Bull juniors all over the place. I mean, Christian Horner apparently was quoted as saying they want to actually try and decrease the amount of drivers in the Red Bull Academy. It's a very weird... They seem to not know this middle ground,
yeah,
the Red Bull junior system, because they've gone out and gone like, right, fuck it. Like 3 years ago, they had no one.
Mm.
And you ended up with like Brendan Hartley in Toro Rosso. And then more recently, had De Vries, because no one was ready. And they were like, well, we don't want to do that again. Well, let's go and get like nine junior drivers. And they've done that. And now they're watching F2 and they don't know who the fuck anyone is because there's too many cars that have their brand on and they're finding it hard to follow. So they're like, we're going to take everyone away again. I just feel like they need to decide on like on a middle ground. But yeah, either way, I think Liam Lawson is like the best fit. Yeah, and if I was to put money on him or on anyone getting promoted from the junior program, it would be him.
Mm.
I think Iwas has dropped off a little bit in F2, like a tiny bit, but it's still a great shout as well. Then other than that, I don't think anyone else is ready.
Yeah. No, I think I'd agree with that. Again, yeah, they've got what?
I think they've got
Fittipaldi, Hadjar,
Auger.
Maloney. Crawford, yeah. They've got so many. Iwas, obviously. Like, it's yeah, you're right. They've gone for that kind of scattergun approach. And whereas you look at, say, like Vesti is part of Mercedes and he was leading after he messed up in Spa. But he's still, I think, Vesti, for me, I think he'll win it this year. And then McLaren, they don't really have any
superiority.
Juniors. Well,
Victor Ollie Behrmann's superiority.
Nick Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, there's some good juniors legit coming up.
Yeah, this F2 season sick for sure. And I think, again, well, actually, next driver I want to talk about is Zhou Guanyu.
Yeah.
Because he is out of contract at the end of this year. And Bottas isn't, but I still think he's, you know, because F1 contracts, you know, Checo knows, right?
That yeah, those things don't necessarily mean anything.
Mm. And so
is that the shredder?
I think both, even though Bottas has a contract, I could see that him being at risk. I think Joe is out of contract. You've got Teo Porsche there in the background.
I was about to say this. One of them has to be at risk.
Loitering.
Because Teo Porsche, I think Porsche is going to win F2.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, even if he doesn't, to be fair, if he doesn't, that kind of stinks a little bit because this would be his third season now.
He is still only 19.
Oh yeah, true. I forgot. Fam. Yeah, he was a child when he got in.
Yeah.
F2 the first. I forgot about that. Okay, fair enough. Either way, he is probably one of the best junior drivers in F2 right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's him, obviously Vesti, people like Behrmann, people like Iwasa, and then obviously like, what was the other one I was going to say? Victor Martins from Alpine. But Porsche is affiliated to Sauber and Alfa Romeo, yeah?
Alfa Romeo, Sauber.
Okay, Sauber specifically. I think if you, as Sauber, right, if you've got one of the best junior drivers in F2, they're ready, especially if he wins F2, because he can't go back in next season if he does win
good
it.
Point, yeah.
If he wins it, I don't see how you can go, yeah, you're good in it, but we'll keep Guan Yu Zhou and Bottas.
Mm.
You can't afford to do that as a smaller team.
Mm.
You can do that as Ferrari because you just slap them into a different series or just get them as a reserve driver. Teo Porsche is not going to want to be a reserve driver for Sauber if they finish ninth in the Constructors' Championship.
And also, there's a chance, which wasn't a
you
chance
just have
in
to
the
get
past,
him in,
that they could keep hold of him. Because like with Charles Leclerc, that was always a stepping stone.
Yeah, because he was a Red Bull. He was a Ferrari junior. Yeah. He was a Ferrari junior. So
it was always a stepping stone. The team knew that. They knew that, right, we're the team that he's going to come to develop and then move to Ferrari.
Mm.
And he did after 1 year. Whereas with Audi coming in, Sauber must know, okay, if we get Porsche in and he's that good and he's that guy that he's
never,
I mean, so he finished his first year, 21, he finished fifth, won two races. Last year, he came second. And I mean, his last four races, he didn't score a point. So like four like weekends, he didn't score a single point.
Yeah.
So, you know, that speaks kind of volumes, right? And he won he won three races last year.
Yeah.
And then this year, yeah, he's leading. He's only won once, but he's been consistent. I mean, he's had six P2s
Mad.
This year. So yeah, he's been that guy like every single year. And yes, the win hasn't come you know, he's not quite been able to win the championship, and Drogovic obviously took away with it last year. But I think Porsche has always been competitive, which I think is super important. I think when you look at Liam Lawson's junior career as well, he's not won everything, but he's always been like right up there
every single season. Yeah,
and that's like, because motorsport, you get unlucky, like things go for and against you, and as long as you're, if you're consistent and you're up there every year, that speaks volumes. So yeah, I do think that, you know, if you're in charge of that team. Because I look at this year and I think Bottas does have the measure on Joe just, but not by much. I look at Joe as a, you know, I don't know if you've seen it, Joe's been posting on his socials because he's been in China, and like the support, the fans for Joe has been crazy.
Yeah.
It's like Lando-esque over there. Like, so that's a huge, obviously growing base. And Alfa Romeo, you know, they're the ones who leaked Joe, remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember the picture? There was a picture, I think it was in Shanghai, of Joe on the side of Alfa Romeo, like China's first that full-time F1 driver.
Yeah, yeah.
So Alfa Romeo, like, from a business point of view, and they want to stay in F1, and we'll talk about who they're going to move to in a bit, potentially. And Audi also, they did their F1 car launch in Shanghai. Not their launch, but they did an event with their F1 in Shanghai like a couple of months ago. So you've got Audi, who have big ambition to be within China, and you've got Joe, who is the Chinese single Chinese driver on the grid, who is actually doing better than I think pretty much everyone thought.
Yeah.
And obviously Alfa Romeo also have that connection with Joe. They're the ones who leaked him in the first place. Mm-hmm. But if Alfa Romeo move over to Haas, which is being suggested, rumoured for next year, then could they take Joe with them to Haas? Because then we've got to talk about Hülkenberg and Magnussen as well.
We
need to talk about all four.
Yeah, like as a collective. Is Hülkenberg out of contract as well?
Correct.
Okay.
He only got one year.
Magnussen, okay.
And Magnussen, yeah.
K-Mag, you're in trouble, boy. I'm not going to lie. K-Mag's in trouble.
Yeah, I agree.
Out of all of the drivers that are out of contract, I would say he's the one where I'm like, if he doesn't pull his finger out in the next 2 months, it's a wrap. Like, pretty much nailed on. Unless Haas have just no ambition in terms of like, well, we've got two experienced drivers, we're going to carry along that line, whatever. But honestly, even a youngster would put in better performances than K-Mag has this season. Because even if you look at... if we're looking at the car as like a one lap pace guru, but then it falls away in the race, which is fine. You know, there's some cars like that. Hülkenberg is the man extracting performance out of that car. Has K-Mag even got to Q3 once this season?
Well, so Hülkenberg's got to Q3 6 of 12 times. He's got a 50% Q3 hit rate, which is the same as Checo, which is mad.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
That's a stat. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
It's good from you.
That was in my quiz as well. It speaks a lot for, I think, again, Nico being underappreciated. And I think, you know, he's always had great one lap pace. You know, yes, he's not got the podium and people like to flog him with that. I think Hülkenberg extension is a no brainer. I think Magnussen is in trouble. I think Bottas, for me, even though he's got a contract, I think he's potentially in trouble because I think Valtteri doesn't bring that big support from outside, and I think his performances haven't been good enough to be like, I'm your guy for like Audi long term.
Could I? Yeah. And this is what I was going to say. If Audi were entering Formula One next season,
by the way, they already own 25% of the team, Audi.
Oh,
already.
Yeah, fairs. Yeah.
So they will
make a decision.
But yeah, carry on.
I think if Audi were coming into Formula One next season, it would be a shoe-in for the current Sauber lineup to stay the same. I think because I think you could just about convince Theo Porsche, look, listen, it's a big brand, Audi. You're going to be a reserve driver for 1 year, then we'll get you in the car. Mm. And he'd probably be like, okay, I'll allow that, fine, whatever. Yeah. Or you could ship into a different car, into a different series for a year, get him some experience, keep him racing, whatever. And Bottas is kind of like a decent enough lead driver for a new project for like 1 or 2 years, and then getting a marquee name. Guan Yuzhou, obviously, again, they've got that Chinese market to appeal to. But I think because it's 2026... mate, if we're talking about Valtteri Bottas being like, we could get him out of here instead of Guan Yuzhou, he ain't making it to 2026. I'll be real with you. He's not making it another 3 years of like let's keep him around. He's going to be the guy to spearhead this news. It's not going to happen.
No.
So if you're Audi and Sauber collectively, if you're Audi having a bit of a say in the decision, you're probably going, lads, I'm not going to lie. Do we really need Valtteri?
Well, there's been a lot of talk of science, hasn't there?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk of science. You've got Carlos Sainz's dad, who, you know, ex-World Rally champion.
He used to drive for Audis in rally.
He still drives Audis in Dakar.
Yeah, okay.
Still does it, yeah. So he's got that relationship with Audi, and that's been heavily kind of rumoured and speculated that they'd like a Carlos Sainz in their team. Yeah, I think Joe will be okay. I think Joe will get an extension. There has been, again, rumoured reports that Joe is going to get an extension for another year, which I think he merits. I think as a package, I can understand that. Is he the next greatest thing? No, but I think he's good enough that I think give him another year.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think Bottas needs to be concerned. I think I could definitely see him getting switched out.
Now, I think he needs to be concerned, but hear me out on this one, yeah?
All right.
If we're suggesting that K-Mag, if he doesn't get his shit together, yeah, is out of there. We know Haas are on this very sort of experienced driver vibe right now. They're probably not going to dip into a F2 field for a driver. And also it would probably have to be like a Ferrari affiliated driver, you'd imagine, if they're going to go to Haas there for one season, whatever. I don't know. I don't think there's a driver Ferrari affiliated that's ready for next season. Mm-hmm. I think Behrman will be sick, but I don't know about next. He's still like 17, isn't he, or something?
He's crazy. Just turned 18.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Literally, only just as well.
I'm so old.
How do you think I feel?
Yeah. So I don't think there's anyone there necessarily for the taking. Valtteri Bottas to Haas, mm-hmm, yeah? Experienced driver, consistent, whatever. And you could do a madness with the reveal. Valtteri bought Haas, as in get, and it's just a print of the Haas logo on his bare buttocks. Boom, easy. He gets a tattoo on there. Say less. That is marketing, that is, bro.
You know what?
That's marketing. That's what he's known for right now, is a mullet and his arse. And a decent amount of the word has is ass.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
At least 75% of the word is that.
Wow.
So you're good.
That
little tattoo, one on each cheek, boom, sorted.
This must be what it's like to watch Messi live.
Yeah.
Like when you see genius in person.
What can I say, just, bro? What can I say, man?
That's good.
Sometimes you just have to be born with this marketing capabilities. Ass. You're not watching because I'm blocked, but if Tomo posts this, maybe then you'll see it. I think that's the motive.
Yeah.
I think Bottas in, you could do some serious marketing.
And it all started when you shouted at Minter's Bunda as well.
It did. Yeah. It all comes full circle.
It all comes full
like
circle.
Valtteri Bottas.
Wow. that's incredible. Yeah, I mean, maybe. I think, again, there's talk of Alfa Romeo moving over to Haas,
mm-hmm,
to be title sponsors of Haas because they want to stay in F1.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think maybe also that could, there's talk of maybe that brings Joe over with them to Haas. But I think that, I think Audi, yeah, I like the sound of Joe staying on. I think that, yeah, again, Magnussen's at risk. Hülkenberg's fine. Porsche, if he wins F2, he's got to get a seat, surely.
Yeah.
The one last driver who's out of contract in this year is Mr. Freedom, be that Logan Sauber.
It is indeed.
What do we make of Logan's chances? I think Vals has been very, very kind and generous in the way he talks about Logan. And I think Logan has had his moments. He's clearly not a Latifi.
Mm.
I think to me, that's clear as day. But also, you know, Albon has been consistently outperforming him.
He's whitewashed him still in quali as well, hasn't he?
It's the only whitewash all year. And also, like, look, I love Alex. Is he a Leclerc, Verstappen, Hamilton? No, he's not. So for him to be whitewashing Sargent, like, it's still pretty convincing as well, the gap. Like,
yeah.
There's been the odd moment throughout the year. I think Saudi was the one time Logan actually went quicker than Alex, but he fucked it up by driving over the line. So, yeah, maybe Logan. I think if Williams had a better car, I think they'd get more bang for their buck having an American driver.
Yeah.
When they're at the back, no one really gives a fuck.
It's not really that worthwhile, is it?
To be honest.
I think for me, with Logan, it's kind of like, at the end of the day, he is a rookie. It's not a Nick DeVries situation. You are actually a rookie, yeah. You're a youngster. I think he only had one season in F2 as well. So he's gone straight from F3.
Yes.
Because he had two seasons in F3.
Because he didn't have the budget to go into F2, so he had to stay in F3.
So he stayed in F3 for one more year, then F2, and then straight into F1. So that is a decent jump up. There's a big learning curve there. And I think he did show promise, even from the get-go, Bahrain. That first lap that he had at Bahrain was stellar. But I think Ray's pace, I think he's actually all right.
Yep.
He's not been, it's not like, we're not looking at him like a Latifi of like, we know he's going to be at the back, like come the end of the race, whoever's finished, he's going to be at the back. He is like mixing it with the Haases, mixing it with the AlphaTauris, mixing it with the Alfa Romeos. So I have a massive problem with him. I think it just looks worse than it is because he's getting whitewashed in quali.
Yeah.
And Albon is like convincingly beating him each time.
Yeah.
But I think that's okay for a first season. I think that's all right. I think he's
kind of what Yuki had with Gasly in his first year at AlphaTauri.
Yeah, yeah. You're kind of straddling the line of like acceptability.
Yeah.
But as long as you are not binning it all the time, and which he's not, to be fair.
No.
He's kind of got that out of his system a little bit since the start of the season. And he's not at the back all the time, then I think it's kind of acceptable. I think that's all right. But I think it's one of those where it's like, right, cool. We've given you your season to understand how the car works, to get yourself into gear. Season two, you've got to be at least challenging Alex or whoever your teammate. Well, it will be Alex, but you've got to be challenging your teammate. You've got to be getting a couple points on the board as long as we can deliver you a car that can do that. Got to try and get the most out of this car, because I think if he's still struggling like this into a second season, he's gone for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, again, I see the parallels with Gasly and Tsunoda first year, because I think that final race of, 21 Abu Dhabi, Tsunoda finished fourth.
Yeah. No one ever remembers that.
No one. He had a really good race then. So I think, Sargeant needs to, I think he'll get next year. I think he will. But
yeah, I think he will.
Well, let's look. Of those seven names who are up for contracts end, so let's do like keep, bin or move.
Right.
So Hulkenberg.
Keep. Yeah, I reckon keep. So. Yeah. Cool.
K-Mag.
Bin. I'm sorry, guy. I love K-Mag.
Doesn't even get moved elsewhere. Nah, just gone.
Nah, bro, he's got to go. I'm sorry. I actually really like Kevin Magnussen as a man, not met him, but as a man and as a driver, I think he's great. But this season is like really poor.
And I can't see an option opening up elsewhere either. I can't see him taking him on.
That's the thing. If you are not performing at Haas and you're not like a younger driver or whatever, there's just not going to be a door that's going to open up. So I can see him going into like
only the door racing. To the bin.
Only the door. Yep. To the
back
yep.
to IMSA maybe for Kev. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised. Hamilton keep.
Nah, bin him, mate. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. keep. I mean, it makes the most sense.
Move him to Haas to replace Gaming.
Yeah. True. Experienced driver.
Yeah.
Experienced driver, to be fair to Lewis.
Gunther would love that.
I think so. That'd be a great combination. Can you imagine Gunther Steiner and Lewis Hamilton?
No, I can't.
Fucking hell.
I can't even imagine that.
Do you reckon they even go out for drinks or anything? No, I honestly don't think Lewis Hamilton and Gunther Steiner have anything in common.
I don't think they've interacted ever.
Yeah. This is where they're actually just best mates now.
Yeah.
We're dickheads. But.
Exactly, Loki. We just completely misread the room.
Yeah, maybe. Let us know,
Gunnar.
If you're out there.
If you're watching. Joe?
That's a difficult one. I think I'd say it's really, oh man. I really want him to be beating Bottas at this point just to make it easy, because I think the fact that he's still like,
I think keep.
I think that's the best option for him as well.
I think keep. I think he's done enough to merit one third and final year.
Then
reevaluate.
And I think if he's still like meh. I don't think he's meh now, to be fair. I think he's just above meh.
It's hard to showcase as well when you're in an Alfa Romeo. I mean,
it's a shocking car.
Unreal qualifying performance in Hungary, and unfortunately the car kind of seemed to let him down at the start.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows what that could have been. Ricardo.
Oh God, move. Actually,
yeah.
Moving to Red Bull. Fuck it.
move. And if not Red Bull, then going somewhere else. If not Red Bull, somewhere else.
You can't be at AlphaTauri. Like, or Hugo Boss, Bulls Motorsport, no. Bulls Racing. I can't see that. I'm sorry.
That's some bullshit.
Yeah.
Fact. Tsunoda.
Oh, God, this is difficult.
Keep bin move.
It's not bin. We're keeping you. You could fit in the bin, to be fair. Small man. little push bin. You stand in it with headroom.
So I just pictured my head poking out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dearie me.
But I think I'd love to move him to Aston, but it's not realistic. So I think it's just a keep, to be honest with you. I think he's done more than enough this season to merit, you know. But then, fuck it, man. I'm moving him to Aston.
Move.
He deserves more than AlphaTauri.
I think move. I think move after this year. I think.
But where to?
I think if he can stay on the grid, then that is the most important thing.
Mm.
And he's so young still. I think he's still like 22.
Really?
He's still like really young.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. He's either 22. I'm pretty sure he's 22, but he might be 23. I would maybe move him. I think Haas to replace K-Mag would be a sensible move for Haas. I think that could be a really cool lineup, Hülkenberg, Tsunoda. Mm. But yeah, I think move to stay on the grid. And then Sargeant.
It is.
I'm just thinking if there's a. Who would be like a better option for Williams right now?
Do you reckon.
Potential upside for Sargeant.
I mean, in terms of experienced drivers, probably not, unless someone like a Bottas moves and then you've got the option of him. Bottas and Albon would be a pretty wavy lineup, to be fair, for a Williams.
Mm. Used to be at Williams.
And he was there. Well. Yeah, exactly. So he probably knows a lot of the people there. The only other thing in terms of like a junior driver, Vesti, if he wins F2, link between Mercedes and Williams.
That's a point. That's a good point.
That would be kind of cool, not going to lie. But other than that, I think there's a crazy amount of options for Williams to go in after.
Where Vesti finished in F2 relative to Sargeant last year.
I don't think he was very good in F2 last year. I'm going to be totally real. I might be doing him a disservice here, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't in like the top six.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. Yeah, he didn't have the strongest kind of debut year, so he was. Let's have a look.
But then neither did like Mick Schumacher, for example. Mick Schumacher was like 10th in his first season.
No, true. I remember seeing this that like Mick Schumacher only won like 30-something% of races, which is like by far the lowest percentage of any F2 champion.
Mm.
Vesti finished 9th last year.
Okay.
He got a win, he got 2 P3s.
I feel like he improved towards the end of the season as well. I can't remember off the top of my head. I didn't really watch that F2 season that much.
Well, so he got a double P2 at Monza, but then no points in Zandvoort, Spa or Yas Marina.
Good. So, yeah. From him.
Yeah, I think Sargeant's, I think keep.
I think it is keep.
I think the potential upside, because him and Piastri, by the way, like again in F3 that went down to the line. Sargeant was actually ahead of Piastri and he got very unlucky.
Was that was Vesti as well, was in that, I swear.
And that was it's Porsche.
Oh,
that was
Porsche.
Yeah, Porsche, Piastri and Sargeant.
Yeah.
They were like the three going into that title decider in F3. So
no, Sargeant is good. Sargeant is good. He needs to get his hands around his car properly, I think.
And it's a difficult car, which is it always makes your life more hard.
Like, yeah.
Like Piastri's showcase himself in this.
Yeah.
McLaren, he wasn't able to showcase himself at the start of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Okay, yeah, fair. We'll keep Sargeant and hopefully he can improve into next season. We'll get a bit more performance out of him.
We'll keep Loki Bear.
Yeah.
All right.
For America, for freedom.
Let's quickly do Equal Machinery. We've got a slightly different topic this weekend.
Okay, sensational.
Greatest rivalry of all time.
Oof. Okay, nice. What are the options?
So I've got Lauda and Hunt.
Oh, nice.
You've got Hamilton and Rosberg.
Oh. Lovely stuff.
What other honourable mentions should we give to the audience you can talk for 30 seconds into the void and we'll definitely hear you.
Yeah, exactly. So just give us those.
Ooh, rivalries. I mean, obviously Hamilton Verstappen.
Yeah, Hamilton Verstappen is one where it's not like a feud, but it is like that's the definition of a rivalry rather than like a. I don't know, a falling out, for example.
Yes.
Like they still very much have respect for each other.
Yeah.
but that rivalry for that season was legendary. Like, there will be a film about that season of Formula One, I reckon.
Who was Alonso's biggest rival? Vettel or Hamilton?
Lewis in his first season. Yeah. No, 2008, sorry.
The skinheads. And that
was, yeah, Battle of the Skinheads was crazy.
That was like, you know, like Bald Rooney.
Yeah. Just kicks everyone. Yeah, Alonso, Buzzcut Alonso was crazy. He was a maniac. He didn't give a fuck.
Oh, menace.
That was great.
I can't believe Ron Dennis made them shave their heads, man. That's crazy. I'm trying to think of well, I mean, obviously Senna Prost is iconic.
Yeah, true actually.
All right, well, 30 seconds. You're going first because you're going first.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I like that reasoning. Go on then.
Right, why is Hamilton Rosberg the greatest rivalry of all time now?
Well, first of all, it ruined a friendship. These two were best friends growing up, and the rivalry was so intense they hated each other by the end. Honestly, in an era where there was nothing else really going on in Formula One, Rosberg versus Lewis Hamilton was the definitive storyline for about 3 years straight. And what I loved is you got the underdog win at the end, but also the creativity and the drama between the two. The accidents, Rosberg at Mirabeau, genuinely, it was like an EastEnders storyline for 3 years straight.
That, you know what, you've solved that well, mate. You've solved that very well. They were best friends and destroyed a friendship. That's real, man. That's real.
That's real hate. Like, yeah. That's actually, and you can tell now.
Stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah. It actually is sad. That is actually true.
Yeah.
Because even now, when I hear Nico Rosberg talk about Lewis Hamilton, I can tell there's a tinge of, I don't like this guy. And that's fine. You don't have to get along with anyone, with everyone. Sorry, that's not a problem. But it is just sad because they were literally like best buddies karting together.
I also think there is a tinge of like regret.
Probably, yeah.
Do you remember that first time they were both on the podium and they were like hugging and that? And like that was when Nico was in the Williams.
Yeah,
it's like it's mad how that changed. But like Nico had to sacrifice. Like he had to go all in to like win that championship.
Yeah,
he had to like, you know, forget about everything and just focus on that
one guy.
You know, he couldn't keep it going afterwards. But you told that very well, Niren.
Thank you. Right,
well, Lauda and Hunt in 3, 2, 1, go. So intense and so poignant that it inspired the great movie that is Rush. I think the thing is, these two were two of the first, I would say, polarizing characters who not only fought on track, but they just had totally different approaches. Hunt was the playboy, Lauda was the kind of the fine margins kind of guy. And this really showed, this kind of set the blueprint and standard. You know, Senna and Prost were very different characters. So were Lewis and Nico. So Max and Lewis. So were all these other rivalries since. This was the first one to really set the standard. Wow. I went over 30 seconds. Fucking hell.
It was quick when I was saying that. 30 seconds is crazy, to be fair.
I do waffle, yeah. We put ourselves on a timeline. Now, I do think... Yeah, Lunt and Howder. Lunt and Howder?
Yes, yeah. Nice.
Lunt and Howder.
Lunt and Nicky Howder.
No, that was like, you see it so much more now because you see more of these drivers' personalities, but I feel like these were the first two that we really got like a proper insight because their characters were so
I was about
opposite.
To say. I think this is the like... This is the ultimate like character. This is why it made such a good film.
Yeah.
I think Rosberg v. Hamilton would not be as good of a... Actually, there is a storyline there because if you take the childhood friendship route,
yes.
All of it as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, which they would, obviously.
Yeah, which yeah. They obviously would.
That movie will happen one day.
Yeah, I think if there wasn't that element to Rosberg versus Hamilton, it wouldn't be even close to
Agreed.
Hunt and Lauda because, yeah, you just have... I don't think it's actually possible to have two people who are so different from each other.
Yeah.
Like Nicky Lauda was so just like focused, so like down the line, so just sort of just professional, like from a classical standpoint. Whereas Hunt was just very much like, I'm going to live my fucking life.
Yeah.
I'm smoking cigarettes before I go out.
Yeah.
I'm getting with a new woman every day.
Yeah.
And it was just like so different. That must have been so crazy to actually experience as like an F1 fan. Mm. That was probably the same as like the Drive to Survive effect.
Mm.
Because you had like new fans watching this like methodical champion just... focused Don versus maybe a relatable guy in the sense of like just likes partying, likes women, whatever. It probably had a similar effect. The film was amazing. So
I wonder how much the fans actually saw, like watching on telly in the 70s.
Yeah.
How much we actually saw of these kind of characters, because obviously now we see loads and we really get an insight. And even then we still only see what the teams choose to put out.
Yeah.
But like the drivers post on their own socials, but this wasn't a thing, that anywhere near a thing back then. So I do wonder as well, I think a lot of the stories came from, you know, people around them at the time and weren't necessarily able to be fully appreciated by the fans watching.
Maybe stories that weren't told until more recently and the film as well.
But what, okay, so actual greatest F1 rivalry of all time. I think for a rivalry to be great, I think it needs to stand the test of time. I don't think it could be a one season thing.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't put Lewis and Max in it for example, because I think
that's just a great season. It's a great rivalry, but it's like more, I don't know, it's more based around that season.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't call that a rivalry now because they're not racing together on track anymore.
I mean, there were some cool ones like in periods like Montoya, Schumacher was pretty cool.
I mean, Juan Pablo.
I think Vettel, Alonso over the course of years.
2012 as well.
But I think maybe Alonso, Hamilton. Like I know that's like big recency bias, and I'm not talking about obviously Senna Prost. I think Senna Prost is hard to beat, but I didn't watch those years.
Yeah, exactly. We weren't there for that.
So I think for me, my favorite rivalry is probably Hamilton Alonso.
Really?
Yeah. I think for how long that, where it started with McLaren,
yeah,
and then over the years, like, you know, Lewis has always taken a win. Alonso in the Ferrari and like Hamilton, that 2010 title fight where like Lewis was on the outside of it, potentially on the cusp.
Yeah.
And I just think over recent years as well, like, I don't know. I think that how long that's lasted, I think it's great. What do you think, Minton?
What are you thinking, Minton? Because he's on the move right now. What are you saying, lad?
He's gone to Uncle Niren.
Oh, hello, lad.
Hey, he heard Hamilton.
Yeah.
That's his kind of trigger word. Don't you dare jump off.
Don't jump down there, lad.
What are you saying? Greatest rivalry of all time. Your greatest rivalry. Oh, look at this.
This is cute.
Oh, they're bonding.
This isn't a rivalry, I'll tell you that. me and Minton love each other. I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because it's like, if we're talking greatest, it's going to be like it's going to be Senna Prost or Loud V Hunt, I think.
Yeah.
Just in terms of intensity, like overall.
Yeah.
But I honestly do think Hamilton and Rosberg comes close again because of the storyline and stuff too.
True.
I think my favorite one, I think my favorite one has to be Lewis v Nico. Just again, like
Minton.
The creativity.
Don't jump off there.
Please don't, Minton. Right, come back.
Come back. Do you want a treat? Do you want a treat?
Go on, lad.
Come here and you get a treat.
I think it was just what's it called? Yeah, it was the creative. It just felt like every 2 weeks it blew up again.
It had that human element that kind of made it, and I think we got to see that as well.
Cap throwing, Belgium hitting each other. I mean, that was like the spark. Mirabeau, the Monaco one. Then they crashed again in Spain, and it was just like it felt like every month there'd be like a new reason for them to really dislike each other, and it genuinely during a time where, let's be honest, Formula One was not that competitive. It was just Mercedes and that was it.
Yeah.
Was there any other storylines going on at the time apart from like the rise of like Daniel Ricciardo? About it. It was literally fuck all else happening.
Yeah.
It felt like that carried Formula One for about 3 years straight. So.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, these rivalries don't have to end in broken friendships. I mean, it feels like more than ever, all these drivers like get along really well.
Facts, yeah.
Like, I can't imagine. Like, say, Lewis retires in a couple of years and maybe Albon goes in as like kind of almost second driver to George. All right, let's just say that happens. Mm. I can't imagine them two. I mean, maybe. Who knows? I guess. But again, that's the human part of F1, you know, like testing these relationships. I'm sure, you know, if Lando and Oscar both had a competitive car, you know, and Oscar's very chilled out and Lando's like, you know, his character's great. But that would be interesting to see whether they could... how they'd manage that, but let us know in the comments if you're watching on YouTube.
Yeah, what is your favorite rivalry?
Right, let's wrap it there, man. We've talked for a while.
We've waffled. We've done well. Minton has sat through our waffle. I'm so sorry.
He slept through a lot of it.
Yeah, he was snoring, but you know, a couple points. But
I don't blame you, mate. And yeah, we'll be back on next week, this time next week.
Yes, we shall indeed.
More of the content will not stop over this summer break.
Yeah, there'll still be stories to talk about. There'll still be stuff going on.
Hopefully some contract stuff
next time we
see. Yeah, I'm hoping some silly season stuff kicks off, I think, before the end of the summer break. Usually we do get like at least one move before like the end of sort of August. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Mm. Don't forget to check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, rating 5-star, all that on the care tag of your Obey long sleeve.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. You can find it there. There's a little barcode and you can scan that and it comes up with the full podcast. So
Bosh.
But only this particular one.
Okay.
If you don't have that, then you game over, unfortunately. Yeah, you've got to nab it.
What are you up to this week, mate?
Recovering from being an Ibiza, to be honest with you, mate. Apologies for sounding so ill. That is pretty much the reason why. Bit run down, not going to lie. But other than that, the football season starts again this weekend as well. So lots of content to come for that.
Yes, indeed.
And there's always lots going on.
Yeah, up the Lionesses as well.
Indeed.
Somehow managed to beat Nigeria.
Yeah, I know. That was torn allegiances there. I'm not going to lie during that game.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But no. It was good to see England. It's good to see the Lionesses progressing.
It was.
It's coming home. It's probably not, but it's coming home.
If anyone can bring it home, it's them.
It is the Lionesses.
Might be the men's
that
team,
is for
facts.
Sure. Yeah.
Right, thank you everyone for watching. Say bye, Minton.
Adios. Woof woof. And that.
Bye-bye.